Good evening and welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. We are coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. I'm Douglas Impuga, and this evening we'll talk about the Nigeria kidnappings. And with us tonight is Professor Habi Galadima of University of Jos. He joins us by phone from Jos. Good evening, Prof.
Good evening, Douglas. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How is Jos?
Yeah, we're fine.
Very good to hear you. And we also have Dr. Yes. Sylvester Okere. He's chairman, Maryland, Nigeria, Sister State Executive Committee and senior principal at Strategic Groups. Dr. Okere, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having me.
You're very much welcome. Also joining us is a regular panelist, Suleiman Mgula. He's a South African-based independent political analyst. He's joining us by phone from Durban. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good evening, Douglas and the other panelists.
Thank you. Once again, gentlemen, welcome to the program. And as I said, our topic tonight are the current events in Nigeria, where several girls were kidnapped. Boko Haram seized nearly 300 schoolgirls and vanished into a dense forest last month. With every passing day, the wait for the kidnapped Nigerian girls gets more agonizing. And some analysts have said their rescue is a risky, complicated effort. Let me start in Jos with Prof there. Your general assessment about the mood, about the people have about these events of the Boko Haram activities.
Well, since the kidnapping of those girls in Chibok, Nigerians have become very united in the demand for the freedom and the release of those girls. Indeed, Nigerians are quite worried and are quite disturbed because never in its history has a number of Nigerians been kidnapped in one day. And there seems not to be an immediate solution to the problem.
Further, the location of where the girls were abducted. These girls were abducted in an area where the government doesn't have a firm grip. The school is about 80 miles west of Maiduguri and some 600 miles from the capital, Abuja. Are people concerned that the government might not really have the wherewithal, so to speak, to pursue the captors and rescue the girls?
Well, I think perhaps that's why the government is asking for international support in its efforts to locate where these girls have been taken to. Indeed, it is not the issue of having the capability now of getting them, but it has to do with the technology that is required in surveillance to be able to at least locate where these girls have been kept.
I see. Let me come back here in Maryland. Sylvester, how about those who say that the time lag, the 3 weeks, is quite a period that maybe it may be difficult or more complicated to be able to rescue the girls?
Yes, thank you so much. The point is this, we have to begin from the situation where we really have problem. Personally, I have lived in Kano State for 14 good years as an immigration officer. There is no really an excuse for the Nigerian government. That is number one. And I will also say there's no excuse for the northern leaders, all the northern governors and traditional rulers. It is quite shameful that we are depending on resources or effort from the U.S. or from outside world. But I'm so thankful that this has drawn international attention at this time. This is not a new thing. It has been going on. I lived in Kano in 1991 riots, the Abiola riots, and so on. The government know what is going on. Northern leaders know what is going on. They know these people who are infiltrating this issue. And I will rightly say that they are not physically involved in this, but they are financially and emotionally involved in these individuals, because if they want to get them, they can get them. No, your neighbor, your goat cannot run away from the backyard and you go to another city and town and call for help. It requires you and your neighbors around to tell people that someone has stolen your goat. That is how it should be.
I see. Suleiman, following up on Sylvester's point there, the Nigerian military faced criticism for this kind of thing after the kidnapping, when it said it had rescued all but eight of the girls, a claim it later recanted. How much trust would the people then have in the government forces to help them rescue these girls?
Of course, the people have lost confidence in the security institutions. They have not been able to produce tangible results ever since. Ever since even the battle against Boko Haram, the whole security setup and the security reaction has been haphazard. Sometimes there has been heavy-handed reaction. They have been in the wrong run. It shows the overall structure of our states, the kind of states which we have grown since independence. Things, I think, are becoming worse and worse. The whole nation like Nigeria, not to be able to react to such a situation to the extent that we have to wait for the international community to intervene, shows how fragile our states are.
Professor Galadima, the Boko Haram's issue, yes. Boko Haram problem has been around since 2009. And some estimates put people killed by the group at about 5,000. Do you think, in your opinion, that this has been led to fester for so long that now it has now gotten to this?
Well, I can say that, yes, that is correct. Because when it started, people thought that it was a political thing and it was excessively politicized. And also, there was also an attempt to sectionalize it to the extent that everything was seen from the perspective of either some extremist Muslims attacking Christians and so on. And that created the initial, delay in tackling this menace. And indeed, the group mutated severally, and increasingly they became more violent and more sophisticated in their tactics. Now the country is suffering heavily from that initial inertia. So I think that, I agree that the inability to take effective response measures from the beginning has allowed the group to grow so large.
I see. Sylvester, from what you gather from the people you get in touch down in Nigeria, what's actually being done now? We heard of the reward of $300,000, but as we all know, these kinds of rewards, most cases never bear fruit. There was a reward on Joseph Kony in Uganda. He's still going around. Even Bin Laden, the bounty of $25 million didn't deliver him. So what do you think is going on right now? What's actually physically being done to rescue these girls?
As you rightly said, and I always point on that, the Bin Laden issue, the U.S. government and international community has offered them millions of dollars. But one thing I would say is this. It is very difficult and I'm sorry, this is not about Christian, Muslim, or cultural stuff, but it is very difficult. Based on what I have learned for 14 years living there, I have good friends with the Northerners. As a matter of fact, my brother's wife is also from Borno State, and she lived peacefully with us and the family come. But the point is this, it is difficult for an Islamic man to point finger on someone, because if when this thing started, when it used to be called riot, Boko Haram just started. They were doing this locally when they would massacre beheaded men and butcher pregnant women, parade on the street with an unborn child, destroy markets, destroy everything. The leaders saw this. They know this. They cannot stop it. Frankly, pointing finger on the president, to me, doesn't make sense, because this is your home. Put your house in order. You are a governor. You are an emir. You are a sultan. What have you done to stop this and make your city unified so that people can inhabit? People don't know that this even scare investment. So people politicize it. The reward, thank God for the reward, but how long would it take? In Osama bin Laden issue, it took America a long time for someone to even say this is it, to give a clue. Who doesn't like $1 million chocolate of $25 million? But it's difficult for a Muslim man to point finger on someone doing wrong. It is very difficult. And I know in Christianity, some people do the same. But I have lived 14 good years there. I work there, and I have great relationship with people in the North Sea today. But this is how it goes. If they can open their mouth, open their eyes, and be transparent, forget about religion, forget about tribe, and, you know, eliminate these individuals who are causing havoc. Because both religions condemn this. Christianity, Islam, culture detest this. This is abomination. Why do you accommodate it? Why do you harbor it?
I see.
Douglas.
Yes.
Douglas, I think the security institutions in Nigeria have let down the people. The basics have not been done. To fight such an elusive organization, you need to have the basics on the ground. You need intelligence gathering. You need it. The Nigerian security system should have been prepared, knowing that it is fighting against terrorism. You cannot fight them with you cannot fight them as if you are fighting a conventional war. You need intelligence gathering. You need good intelligence. By now, 4 years down the line, the security apparatus should have already had good intelligence to enable them to catch these people. But they have not caught even a single. They have been conflicting information. They have been able to get Abubakar. They have not got Abubakar. So the Nigerian security institution has been moving from pillar to post, whereas it should have had. In areas where we have entered, they have had high-handed tactics, illegal searches, they have had torture, they have had extrajudicial killing, messing up the whole situation. You need the local population to be on your side in order to be able to fight such an insurgency. You cannot start pouring only soldiers without good preparation, especially with the civilian population within the area.
Following up on that, let me go to Professor Galadima. Is it possible?
Yes.
Of course, some analysts have argued that it may not be physically possible, humanly possible, to have a group like that operating in an area, however big it is, without the local people either knowing and turning a blind eye, or maybe at times being in cahoots with them.
Well, it started that way from the beginning. But gradually, with the emergence of what is popularly referred to as the civilian JTF in Borno, in Maiduguri, they were able to, with the support of the military, they were able to flush out many of the insurgent groups into the forest areas, into the Zambeza and other areas that they fled to. And since then, they've been operating from those bases. And it has become extremely difficult for people to actually locate where exactly they have been. And the security forces have also said they've made a lot of effort to locate and track them. But it has become a bit futile over time. And so I think the people are indeed... very angry with the group now. And I think the people are willing, if possible, to provide the necessary information. But in many cases, these informations are conflicting, and that confuses even the security agencies, as the case may be.
I see. Sylvester, briefly, do you agree that you can move more than 200 girls in an African part and people won't notice that group moving?
Frankly speaking, I disagree with that. That's because I keep saying that I have lived there. This requires cooperation between the community. They know these individuals. This didn't start today. Yes, we're calling it Boko Haram. When they were fighting with bow and arrow, everyone knows them on the street. When they were walking with stones and beheading people with knives, machete, everyone knows who they are. Right now, they have grown. They have had a base. They have learned a lot from the terrorists, Yemen and so on, since after the underwear bomber and 9/11. They have grown wide, and it's going to continue to grow. Thank God for drones today, but drone cannot solve that if the northern community cannot unify themselves and begin to fish out this individual. Let me give you an example. In Imo State, there was a time during the kidnapping that the governor has an order where if they are chasing you and you, any structure, any building that you run into has to be brought down, has to be demolished. It doesn't matter who owns it. If in the north, the governors, the emirs will rise up, this will stop. This never happened in Sokoto. It doesn't happen in Kano State. It only happened in where you see Christian area, Jos, Kaduna, and Borno State, and so on. But they need to stop this and start working as one Nigeria. That is the only way this can stop.
All right, gentlemen, hold your thoughts. We're going to take a short break, and we'll come back and continue our discussion of what's going on in Nigeria, especially the kidnappings of those schoolgirls. We'll be right back after this short break.
African Music Mix.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African Music Mix on the Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African Music Mix plays only the best. Tune in from 0 to 300 hours UTC and from 11 to 1300 hours UTC every single day on the Voice of America.
Welcome back. In case you're just tuning in, you are listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we are coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. Tonight we are discussing the kidnappings in Nigeria. Our panelists are Professor Habu Galadime of the University of Jos, and Dr. Okere, Chairman, Maryland, Nigeria Sister State Executive Committee, and Senior Principal at Strategic Groups. And Suleiman Mugula, a South African-based independent political analyst. And I'm your host, Douglas Simpuga, here in Studio 9. Now, gentlemen, the World Economic Forum on Africa opened in Nigeria's capital today amid growing despair over hundreds of schoolgirls still missing after being kidnapped by Islamist militants almost 3 weeks ago. Let's hear a soundbite of what President had to say today in Abuja.
Let me really especially thank all of you for accepting to come, especially this time that as a nation we are facing attack of terrorists. Let me appreciate individually and collectively for your support for us, your sentiments, and in fact, by your presence here in Nigeria at this time, you have already supported us to win the war against terror. If you have refused to come because of fear, the terrorists would have jubilated and even would have committed more havoc. But you are coming here to support us morally. It's a major blow on the terrorists. And by God's grace, we'll conquer the terrorists.
Professor Galadima, that's President Jonathan speaking earlier today. Are the terrorists defeated?
Well, I think eventually they will be defeated. That's the only way out for this country. There's no other way. And I think that with greater efforts and a greater sense of unity and with the proper leadership from all levels, not just at the top, from all levels, local level, state level, religious leaders, community leaders, youth leaders, women leaders, and all what have you, if all those leaderships can mobilize the entire, Nigerian populace, I'm sure the terrorist group will be defeated. I think that unity is very, very important to defeat the terrorist group.
I see. Suleiman, there are those analysts who have pointed out Nigeria's unique situation, being the biggest economy in Africa, but with authorities that cannot even keep children safe in their schools.
Yes, and that is what Prof is alluding to. I think what will solve the problem are not impressive speeches and conferences and summits. What is important is to have concrete solutions to the problems which we have. The biggest problem we have faced on the continent for the past 50 years is the deceptive politics our leaders have adopted. They have failed to create national cohesion. They have failed to build strong states. They have concentrated so much in building power around themselves, in enriching themselves more than building a nation. You cannot have a strong nation without proper democracy. For us here in South Africa, the foundation of our strength is within our democracy. We have got inclusive politics, which allows every citizen to be a participant in the governing of the nation. Once you're a participant in the governing of the nation, then you are able to protect, to be proud of your nation and to be able to protect it. The way Professor has said, if there is national cohesion, if there was a unity within the northern leadership of the civil group, of the governors, of the religious leaders, then the problem of Boko Haram would be defeated. But if you are operating from Abuja in conferences with a few cabinet ministers and a few army generals, you won't be able to defeat the thing. So one of the problems which we are faced with on the continent is the failure to have patriotic leadership. The post-independent leadership which we had has since ceased to exist. What we have today are people who are more interested in accumulating power and wealth other than building a cohesive nation that can solve the problems which the countries are facing.
Sylvester, there's been international outcry, especially after this latest incident. Although, as I pointed out earlier, Boko Haram has been wreaking havoc for many years. What do you see the role of the international community? What nature of help should they dispense? The US has promised some help. The UK has promised some. What should the international community do to help sort out this situation?
Yeah, thank you. First of all, I thank the last speaker. That was perfect. I believe that international community what the most that we need now is intelligence, because Nigeria haven't grown to that aspect. But also, without intelligence gathering requires local people working together, like he rightly said. I will give you a quote from Nelson Mandela. He said, only free men can negotiate. Prisoners cannot enter into contracts. Your freedom and mine cannot be separated. So until people start working together, from Abuja to the local authority, what happens is that the president is doing the best he can. But the president is not the local government chairman, neither is he the governors. But these are the local government, and the governors are not reaching out to the local community to eliminate the massive unemployment. Look, in every community in the world, someone said that an idle mind is a devil's workshop. There is massive unemployment. Wherever there is massive unemployment, even in America here, there will be a greater number of crime existing in those areas. Yeah, the president cannot be in every community, northern, eastern, religious, and so on. He has governors, but all they come to the U.S. and around the world is to lie to us, come on tour, come with their girlfriends and wives and everything, and spend money, but nothing is going on. Go to the local community. People are suffering. People are going, I don't know. People are really going mad because they have no food to eat. But these individuals, they have sad roads, even to their gates. They live in the places where you that live in America here cannot even afford to buy any the gate alone. But they buy the houses cash. They buy the cars cash and send it home and so on. But people are suffering. That is why Boko Haram is also existing. And who started the Boko Haram? This is as a result of political fight. That's how they kidnap one another. Now, these guys have no job, nobody to kidnap, no politician to kidnap. Now they will have to go to the poor people who are struggling, trying to survive. So the politicians have to be held responsible, all of them. I don't care what they are about. Tribalism is what is killing Nigeria. Ethnicity, sentiments that we refuse to let go. That's what is killing Nigeria. Thank God for the international community. We bless America. Frankly, I have never seen an enormous ask for or support coming out to Nigeria just because of this. But will that end the problem? No, it's at home.
I see.
The worst enemy is the enemy in the house. Until they work together with good luck, support him, work together with the governors, support him, and governors knowing that they have been elected to help the people that are struggling.
I see. Professor Galadima, if you can respond to Sylvester if you want to, but I wanted to ask you a question that now Boko Haram is no longer localized as we know it, because now it has pulled off some terrorist attacks in the capital city, Abuja. Do people, the powers that be in Nigeria, appreciate the magnitude of the problem?
Well, I think they do, but probably it's not. Many Nigerians appear not to. But I think the leadership are beginning, they're beginning to appreciate the problem. Because left to me, this is no longer an insurgent group. It has become an international terrorist organization. And it's important to begin to name that group appropriately and call it well with its proper name, rather than hiding it under some guise of religious extremist movements and so on. I think Nigerians have to really wake up and begin to fight this organization and uproot it from the soil of this country. It's an organization that wish this country no good. And I think neighboring countries like Cameroon, Nigeria Republic, and others that are very close to the operational base should rally around and circle this group wherever they may be right now and find a way of suppressing them right there. It's important that they are not allowed to move out of their present location and that they are encircled wherever they may be and dealt with accordingly.
Suleiman, the last 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. I will come in to amplify on what the doctor has said. To put it the other way around, doctor is trying to say that as a continent, because first of all, Douglas, we should know that much as now we have got international outrage over the girls, this is not the first time it has happened in Africa. It happened one time in Uganda, girls were abducted during the conflict with Kony. As we speak today, there are other similar inhuman catastrophes going on around the continent. So many women are dying in childbirth. So many children are dying during birth. So many people are dying during because of preventable diseases. But our leaders are amassing weaponaries. Our leaders are amassing wealth. In other words, what doctor was trying to say was, doctor was trying to say that let us look at the causes of the problem. Let us not concentrate on extinguishing the fire, but we should try to prevent the fire from happening. There is a lot of inequality in our society, lack of employment, a lot of poverty. Our countries have closed their eyes, especially the leadership. And some of them are being supported by the very international community, especially the leadership in the international community, which is crying crocodile tears. What we need today in Africa is to change the leadership, to get proper leadership. We need to take out all these leaders who have stayed 20 years, 30 years, who are sitting on the countries, who are spoiling, who are bringing all this suffering to the people. That is why we are getting the insurgencies growing and growing every day. Leaders have to go and get proper leadership.
All right, we're running out of time. Unless you can use 10 seconds, Sylvester.
Yes, you know, another thing we've got to know that in Nigeria, all we've been having is circumstantial leaders. Frankly, here in the country, America or Europe, people really spend a lot of time either through working as a volunteer, community organizer, and other stuff, preparing themselves for leadership. But Nigeria, if you have money and you have somebody up there, he can open door for you and you become a leader.
Thank you.
Do you know? You can be a pastor. You be a leader. Mm-hmm. You can be a taxi driver. You be a governor or you be a commissioner. What do you know? You have no human sympathy. So that is where the problem is. These circumstantial leaders, we have to start supporting them. And those of us in the diaspora, shame on us that run around them and celebrate them, knowing fully that they are not helping the people on the ground.
Thank you. Thank you. We're out of time. Thanks very much. That wraps up the edition of Reporters Roundtable. Thank you to Professor Hub Galadima of the University of Jos, Dr. Sylvester Okere, Chairman, Maryland, Nigeria, Sister
thank
State
you,
Executive.
Dr.
And thank you, Suleiman Mugula, a South African-based independent political analyst. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being on the show.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Thank you. Our producer has been Jackson Mufunganyi. Our engineer tonight was Michael Dubinsky. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. Once again, thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Douglas Impuga in Washington, wishing you all the best.